Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Welcome to the Gridiron Show in association with Touchdown Trips. Getting you,
yes, you
in the game. Got very excited about our trip coming up this week. Had a chat with Ben Mortimer. So get on touchdowntrips.com and get involved. Don't start. Coming up on the show tonight, we're going to be previewing the AFC East, and we're joined by Bournemouth and Bosnia goalkeeper Asmir Begovic, massive Patriots fan. This is the Gridiron Show. Hello and welcome to the Gridiron Show in association with Touchdown Trips, getting you.
Yes, you.
In that there game.
In the game.
In the game.
Getting you in the game.
In the game.
Yes, you.
Yes, you. coming up on today's show, we're going to be...
On the show.
Talking, yes, the show. We're going to be talking about... We're going to do the news and we're going to talk, obviously, about Seahawks Raiders being moved to Wembley. We'll get into that in just a moment's time. We're also going to be talking about all the latest news from around to NFL. We'll get into the AFC East today. We are going to do the AFC West as promised on our second show this week because I'm biggering off to Japan on Wednesday. We're going to pre-record that show tonight and...
I'm super jealous about that, by the way.
Hand out to you later this week. Of course you are.
I mean... Wow.
You love sticky Japanese wings, as we established while we were in Murica.
They are the absolute best.
The food is going to be sublime.
Do you like sushi?
Love sushi.
Oh, wow.
Wife, not a big sushi fan, but she does love like dim sum, like gyoza and stuff that, which you get nice Japanese versions of. We'll figure it out. It's all good.
Where are you going? Tokyo?
Going into Tokyo.
Yeah.
Then getting a train down to Osaka.
Oh, you're going on one of those trains.
Oh, yeah, we're going on the bullet train.
Oh, that's amazing.
We're going on the super fast train down to Osaka.
Yeah.
And then we're going to be going just outside Osaka to an amazing place. Apparently, it's like the oldest city, the oldest city centre in Japan. And I've forgotten what it's called. Oh, no, we're going down to Kyoto and then to Osaka. Maybe that's what we're doing. I'm trying to remember.
But either way, you're going to have a great time.
Yeah, it's going to be fantastic. Wow. It's going to be great.
I don't blame you. This is the perfect time. Go away, recharge your batteries, away from work and life in London and Britain, and then get back ready for the NFL season.
My wife has already left. She's gone to Thailand to meet with her dad, and then they're going to
I thought you had a spring in your step.
Mystery location. Well, it is weird when your wife goes away and you've got the house to yourself, isn't it? Today, I've been on a night shift, so I didn't get up till like lunchtime anyway.
Yeah.
I had loads of jobs to do to get myself ready for going to Japan. I had to put a wash on, start my packing, do some tidying and some cleaning, sort all the cat stuff out because I go into the cattery. I had all this long laundry list of jobs to do. I put a wash in. I fell asleep on the sofa watching the first episode in the new season of Ballers. No comment on the quality of the episode. I was just tired. My Madden 19 finally came in the post 4 days late. So I played that for 2 hours, remembered I'd left the washing, so took it out, and then had to come to work.
Did the wash have that wash smell?
Oh, it didn't have the stale wash smell. It still felt nice and fresh.
Okay, that's good. Plus, that could be the worst thing about doing washing.
When the weather's good and you can dry outside.
Oh, it's just glorious.
The best. Oh. A nice fresh smell in your clothes.
Oh, love life. It. So, yeah, life.
I became just an absolute instant overnight slob. And
sorry, you became one.
Very good.
You are, I would say, a wife away from being a constant 24-hour slob.
What's quite funny as well is that because I've put all my like shorts into the wash as well, I've come into work today basically in like a really crappy tracksuit.
Sweatpants!
Yeah, a little, like, honestly, I like the least professional man in the history of time. But do you know what? I'm over it. It's fine.
And so you should be.
We only do an overnight show, just as long as no management come in early or, you know, the breakfast presenter doesn't bother turning up and I end up getting stuck doing something like that. As long as nothing like that happens,
then
it's fine.
Oh, did that happen? I haven't heard that.
Right. We should talk about the big news of the day, Ollie. Well, how are you, first of all, buddy?
I'm all right. I've just got over my Loftus Road disappointment.
Just got over? It was like 3 days ago.
Oh, I was so upset.
You've got to
it.
Get used to watching QPR lose.
Definitely,
under Steve McLaren.
Definitely this year. Oh, ugh. My God. I don't think he'll last.
Seven games. I mean, seven games.
Riddled me this. No. Hear me now. I predict.
Believe you later.
I predict that he will be gone by Christmas and Mark Burcham, QPR legend.
I like Mark Burcham.
Will be brought in to take over.
I don't know what kind of coach he is, but he's a lovely man. So fingers crossed. Right. So it's official. NFL UK, Tottenham Hotspur, the stadium is not going to be ready for the new season. The test events are not going to be able to go ahead as originally planned, and therefore the Raiders-Seahawks game is being moved to Wembley Stadium. Combined with the fact that Ticketmaster are now shutting down secondary ticket websites, who are all the entitled whingers going to moan about if they don't get a ticket for this game? Because honestly, NFL UK were put in an absolutely horrendous situation with this. We all knew that that was a ridiculous timetable for that Spurs stadium to get ready. I genuinely believed, having been down there and seen it 3 or 4 months ago, that they could get it ready in time for October 14th. But they don't want to have the first event there as being NFL. You notice how they've cancelled 2 Premier League games.
Yeah.
But they've not put the NFL... I think it could be ready in time for the NFL event, but the next home game is Man City on October 28th, and that's what they want to launch the stadium with. They don't want to launch the game with another sport. And yes, Daniel Levy said all the right things about how the NFL have been really supportive, and Mark Waller, you know, said all the right things as well. But, oh, did all the smug irritants come out of the woodwork.
Told you so.
Oh, it was so boring.
All of that. The great... It's not... Obviously, it's not a good thing from a fan's point of view if you wanted to go and watch a game in that stadium. But as you said, Willie, more people will be able to get tickets for it now. More people will be able to watch the game.
I was really excited about watching a game at that new stadium.
So was I, but it's not going to happen. Just move on. We're lucky to have 3 games as it is. No other country in the world has any other games apart from Mexico.
I just was
so
excited.
So people just need to chill out. Yeah, we've got 3 games. Go and enjoy it in Wembley, and then the Spurs Stadium will have one, or maybe 2 next year.
What I do like about it is that, and we've talked about the NFC West already, we're talking about the AFC West later this week. What I am enjoying about it is the amount of people that are like, yes, it's finally a chance to see our Seahawks, and now we're going to be able to get tickets for it. What is great about it, and I am going to get some stick for this, but I just don't care. Some of those Seahawks fans, and when I say some, I mean a large majority. Are people who have come to the NFL in the last 7 or 8 years. I love new fans. I'm all for it. But they've picked the Seahawks because they were a great team. They are, some of them, maybe only a tiny percentage of them, those really irritating Seahawks fans on Twitter, etc., who don't remember just how dreadful their team were before the Pete Carroll era.
The worst team in the NFL for years.
The NFC West was a disgrace, they won it with a losing record one season. That it was an absolute shambles, and there is a risk they're going to end up seeing a really bad Seahawks team this year. So if you're the sort of person who's been celebrating today that the new Spurs stadium is going to be ready and has been spending weeks and weeks whinging and moaning, I hope you get
this.
That
is your new Christmas and all of that, you know.
I'm bitter. Still, I'm feeling very bitter.
The Raiders are most likely going to beat your Seattle Seahawks.
The problem is I don't think the Raiders are going to be very good this year. It's amazing.
I don't believe in Gruden.
It's amazing how split people are on Gruden, though. It's amazing, like, Matt Sherry is still convinced that Gruden is going to be the injection in the arm that they need, and they're going to suddenly be a great team. But I do not buy into the Raiders this season at all. They're weak at linebacker. I think outside of Khalil Mack, they're poor at pass rush, and Khalil Mack is holding out. I think their secondary is not very good. I think Marshawn Lynch is beyond the point where he can be an effective... He's like Adrian Peterson at this point, which is fine if you're a role player, but they're expecting him to be the every down back. I don't particularly like the decisions they've made in the receiving core, getting rid of Crabtree, bringing in Jordy Nelson. And I'm not sure I believe in Derek Carr. So a lot of stuff stacks up there to like a 5-win season.
By the time the two teams come to London, could they be two teams with losing records?
Yeah, 100%.
I don't know what the schedule's like, but the way you're describing how bad the Raiders are, and then we spoke about the Seahawks on the last show. Yeah, it's two teams that don't have an awful lot going for them at the moment, apart from, I know, NFL fans get to see Russell Wilson.
Yeah, that's obviously exciting, and we all love Russell Wilson.
Don't you love Russell Wilson?
We all love Russell Wilson.
Why are you saying that like that?
Let's move on.
Why have you got your fingers crossed? What's going on over there?
I've not got my fingers crossed, to be very clear. I've got two fingers lofted firmly in the air and aimed at Ollie.
Oh, Willie, don't be like that.
They're now crossed. But only as I wave them around in Ollie's face.
Why are you being like this?
It's now four fingers, now two fingers again, now
why
four fingers
again. Why is such a
grouch
mouch?
What is a grouch mouch?
Actually, it's just grouch and mouch rhymes.
You've just been really enjoying that phrase recently, and it's a weird one.
Yeah.
Should we go across some of the other news that's out and about in the Nuffle?
Yeah.
Roquan Smith has finally agreed to a rookie contract with the Bears, a 4-year deal. A source informed of the situation told Schefter and Rappaport. Just finalising the language of the contract. I didn't realise he'd held out until this point, which I'm not a big fan of in rookie players, but I am a huge fan of Roquan Smith and what he does, not just for the Bears in general, but particularly what he does for the Bears in a Vic Fangio system. I think he is going to be a tackling monster this year and has a very good shot at being a defensive rookie of the year.
Very quickly, do you believe...
In love after love!
No, do you share the belief that a lot of... people over in the States and some over here, Neil Reynolds being one, I saw one of his gridiron videos earlier this week, that the Bears could be sneakily good, and also Mitch Trubisky could have a good year. Because from what I saw from Trubisky last year, I'm not having it, but I'm not a quarterback whisperer. So
Matt Nagy is good with quarterbacks, and I think we'll be running the offense in a strong part. And Mark Heilfried, who is the guy who's come through from Oregon formerly, I believe.
Uh-huh.
So they will install a lot of college systems and a lot of the, what do they call them now? RPOs. That's the new name for them. So I think they will set up the offense to work for him. If Allen Robinson can be fit, if Anthony Miller can impress, if Kevin White can suddenly do something. I love Jordan Howard. I really like Tariq Cohen. So that's the offensive side of the ball.
Oh, Tariq Cohen is great.
And they've got a decent offensive line as well. Go to the other side of the ball. I really like Eddie Goldman. I really like Akeem Hicks. I really like Danny Trevathan. I really like Leonard Floyd. I really like Prince...
Who don't you like?
I really like Kyle Fuller. There's four or five players. And then I really like Roquan Smith. So I think they have a chance to be... sneakily a good team.
Okay. I mean, I said this, and we'll get onto the NFC North.
I know you don't like to admit that the Bears even exist, but...
Well, I said this... I think we all said this at the beginning of last season, that the NFC North could be really, really good. It could be really, really good again this year.
Mm-hmm.
Looking forward to it.
Let's move on in the news. Niners signing Alfred Morris pending a physical. It comes in the wake of Jerick McKinnon undergoing an MRI. Jerick McKinnon, luckily enough, the injury isn't considered serious. And the Niners have had a couple of injury scares over recent days. Matt Breida, who I was talking about being a big fan of, went out of the game with a knee injury in their preseason win over the Cowboys. George Kittle also went out of the game, but his injury doesn't look particularly severe. So I think it was something like the 49ers. Solomon Thomas went out with a concussion in the first quarter. They had something like five injuries in the first three series and literally put in... They took every starter out of the game immediately. They were like, this is a bloodbath. What's going on?
Let's get them out of there, man!
Yeah, who else?
We need a medic!
So, Alfred Morris being brought in. And yeah, Alfred Morris in a Kyle Shanahan system could do something interesting.
What does that mean?
I'm not saying go and get him in your fantasy league or anything, but as part of that rotation there with Matt Braden and with Jerick McKinnon, there's potential there.
What does that mean for the Cowboys? I thought he was still there. Obviously, he wasn't. He's gone. But let me have a look. Rod Smith.
I like you just talking to yourself. They like Rod Smith. I think he's more of a fullback than anything else. They brought in a couple of rookies this year.
Bo Scarborough.
They've obviously got Jamiz Olawale, who is their big fullback.
Yeah.
But it's all about, they're going to want
it's
to
all about
ball.
Zeke, isn't it?
Zeke Elliott, they want to give him the ball 300 times this season. So,
given Dak's recent proclamations, I'm hoping the Cowboys do really badly.
And let's not forget that, of course, they're expecting their big money signing Tavon Austin to have 20 to 25 touches.
Tavon Austin, unbelievable. Is there any news on Des Watch?
What's Dak Prescott said?
Oh.
Did I miss this?
You must have missed this. He said something about...
He's basically said that... He's basically lined up with Jerry Jones on the national anthem, hasn't he?
Yeah.
He's basically said that everyone should stand.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Oh, Dak. Way to win over the locker room.
Dallas is a kind of a white collar state, really, isn't it? Or white collar town in a white collar state in Texas. So if you're the quarterback of America's team, PR wise, from that point of view, maybe that's a good thing for him to do. But it doesn't win you many friends around the rest of the league, I doubt.
Saquon Barkley got a little injury. But lucky enough, it was just a mild strain in his leg. That was worthy of an entire about hour of news on NFL Network the other day.
Well, it's the Giants. That's what it is.
Oh, he had that. Okay, that first run was unbelievable. Great patience at the line, broke through, gained 39 yards, I think, on it. Yeah, great. But let's calm down. It's preseason. Allen Robinson's going to play against the Broncos preseason week two. Ready to come back, ready to start, ready to suit up. Exciting stuff for the Chicago Bears. They believed he was going to be ready for the start of the season. Now it sounds like it's going to happen.
More Bear Watch.
Hashtag Bear Watch. Something very different when you're in San Francisco. Dez Bryant, we've talked about that going to the Browns. We can skip over that, obviously. Sam Darnold draws the majority of first-team reps on Sunday. The Sam Darnold train could be set to leave the station, so prepare to jump aboard. That's how the guy on the NFL Network has suggested. Days after an impressive preseason debut where he completed 13 of 18 for 96 yards and a touchdown with an interception, Darnold appears primed to make his move in the pecking order behind Josh McCown and Teddy Bridgewater. The Jets haven't revealed who'll start their second preseason contest against Washington, but Darnold was under center for the majority of the first team snaps in joint practice. Ooh.
I mean,
is he going to start the season?
No. I'm not sure who will, but I don't think he will. What do you think? I just don't. I think it's maybe too much of a risk, especially the first games of the season where everyone's trying to figure out how they're going to fit together and you know, relationships, the schemes across the line. I don't think they'll trust putting in a rookie straight away.
Elsewhere, Christian Hackenberg has joined the Eagles. Luckily enough, they don't have many problems with quarterbacks, so there's not much chance of seeing him in action.
Do you think he could end up being on every single team in the league?
No, I don't. But
where did he go? Did he go to San Francisco?
No.
Oh, man, where did he go? He went from the Giants to...
Well, he started at the Jets.
Yeah. And then he went... No, sorry, from the Jets to...
The Raiders, he was
Raiders,
at briefly.
That was it. I knew it was
Raiders.
I knew it was Bay Area.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Should we talk about the AFC East?
Let's talk about it.
Should we talk to Azmir Begovic?
Yeah, let's do that first.
All right.
That's a better idea than any idea I would have had.
And then we'll go to Azmir Begovic. Lovely. Delighted to be joined on the show now by... it's always good to get a sportsman on from another sport who loves the NFL, because I do find this... The people who play other sports realise that the best sport is American football. Maybe not the best sport, but certainly, you know.
I mean, it's right up there.
It's right up there. Top two, top three, without a doubt.
I mean, you and I play other sports.
I mean, I play other sports, as in esports. That's as close
there
as
you
I
go.
Get.
That's and I, but, I'm a cricketing guy and play for my Armenian football team. But we do love American football, as does our next guest, who I also love.
You're really taking your time to build up to this.
Yeah, it's a Bournemouth and Bosnia goalkeeper, Asmir Begovic. How are you, Asmir?
I'm really good. Thanks for having me, guys.
And before we get on to football, nice start to the season, clean sheet. I think it's the first time Bournemouth have won a game to open the season since they got promoted to the Premier League. So a good start.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a good start all around. Always nice to start the season off with 3 points. And you know, it was the first game of the season, first home game. And like you said, it was nice to be able to win our first game for the first time in Premier League history in the club's 3 year stay now, 4 seasons. So overall, it was a good weekend and a nice way to start the season.
And look, the new vogue in the NFL, Kyle Shanahan, Sean McVay, John Gruden, for example, not John Gruden, the other Gruden, John Gruden's quite old, is young, up-and-coming head coaches. I think they've all looked at Eddie Howe and gone, that's the model. That's what we want from our business. Yeah. Because he's done an absolutely stunning job there at Bournemouth.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Well, I'm glad we can inspire some of these NFL franchises to take our lead. But I'm not all joking aside. Obviously, he's been a great manager to play for. Someone who's really establishing himself in the game with a really positive presence. So I think he can go a long way in this game, and someone I really enjoy playing for.
Asmir, what did you make of Gareth Southgate this summer and the way that he used almost NFL-style media relations in bringing in the press to that open day at St. George's Park where all the players spoke? And we see this a lot at the Super Bowl. He came over, Gareth Southgate, to the last Super Bowl where we were as well, spoke to the station. And what did you make of that? And do you think that could be the way forward for our football, soccer clubs over in the UK?
No, I thought it was great, to be honest. I think throughout the whole summer, and I think his whole reign as England manager, he's been really, really positive, open-minded to new ideas and new ways. And, you know, I think he's handled himself really, really well. And that showed on the pitch, you know. I think that showed in the results the team was able to achieve and how far they went in the World Cup. So I think overall, he's been really great, really refreshing for everyone in English football. And long may it continue.
Now, Asmir, you're a massive New England Patriots fan. It's a surprise we've even let you on the show, considering that fact. But
well, I'd rather Asmir than Matt Sherry.
That's fair.
The main thing. That's why
you've made a great point there. Why New England? Why the Patriots?
Well, it's funny you asked that. It's a long story, so I'll give you the short version. It's basically
we've got all day, Asmir. We can get the long version if you want to bring it to us.
Yeah, but Asmir might not have all day.
There is that point. There is that.
When I was, my teenage years, I grew up in Canada, and I started getting into the NFL, started getting into American football, and there pops this guy, comes out of nowhere, as Tom Brady. And I think just the interest around Tom Brady winning his first Super Bowl, that really got me hooked into the NFL. And ever since then, I was a New England Patriots fan, and I've stuck with him for many, many years now, basically throughout all of Tom Brady's NFL career. So I've been a New England Patriots fan ever since, and we'll be going forward as well.
So what you're saying is, through thick and thin, through the hard times of the early Tom Brady years, you stuck by them. Once you pick, you pick. Am I right?
Well, listen, I know how this looks, guys. I know how this looks in the glory hunter, but you know, it's one of those things. I'm sure I'll enjoy it. Yeah, you know, good times now, and hope we can stay on top for many years to come. But we'll see what happens.
Well, I think that's the big question going into this season for the Patriots, isn't it? Because this summer we've had Tom Brady skipping the OTAs, Josh McDaniels nearly leaving for the Colts, Rob Gronkowski was talking about retirement. It seems like a lot of the kind of key cogs at the Patriots seemingly are starting to think about where their future might lie, and the question is starting to come about. Just how long can this success continue? Because even though you know that speaking to Bill Belichick, speaking to Tom Brady, speaking to anyone around that organization, they eat, sleep, breathe, bleed football, you do feel like that it is starting to get to a turning point for the Patriots, and at some point it's got to all fall apart, surely.
Well, I think this certain generation, let's call them, you know, they'll finish at some point, and that's for sure. There's no such thing as forever. Obviously, it's down to the franchise and the organization and the Kraft family and everyone else to try and keep things ticking over and make sure that it's continuing a successful way going forward, even after the likes of Tom Brady and Bill Belichick and Gronkowski and all those names that you mentioned. So that's I think that's a bridge that we'll cross when they get there. For the moment, for this moment in time, I think it's amazing to have, you know, the best player of all time and arguably the best ever head coach as well on the New England Patriots. And hopefully that breeds another successful season ahead. We'll enjoy it. Hopefully we get to another Super Bowl and take things from there.
I desperately, desperately want to know what happened at the Super Bowl with Malcolm Butler, because there has been so much come out about since he's been at the Titans. He doesn't want to talk about it. He says that it's all out there. He doesn't want to kind of cover it anymore, but he's absolutely looking gangbusters in preseason there. And I think he's up there as one of the best corners in the league. And it's probably, if you look at the current Patriots roster, one of their rare points of weakness as it currently stands. I start to wonder whether that's my other feeling on it, is those kind of coaching decisions, which we maybe never would have questioned in Belichick in the past, people are starting to just pick apart at them a little bit.
Yeah, well, that comes with being the New England Patriots. Everything just gets absolutely micromanaged and dissected and overanalyzed, and it's the talk of the NFL and it's the talk of the sporting world. And at the end of the day, every head coach is going to make decisions that they have their own reasons for. And I think over the years, Belichick has gotten most of them right. Now, maybe this one, unfortunately, didn't turn out great for everyone involved. But he had his reasons for making decisions, and you have to respect that. That's just the way it is. That's what he's paid to do. He said in this introductory press conference this year, he's paid to do what's best for the New England Patriots and what he thinks is best. And that's the way we have to accept things are and respect his decisions.
I mean, obviously, Tom Brady is the man, but alongside him and what Bill Belichick particularly used last year with the likes of Dion Lewis et al. Was this rotating cast of running backs. Now, Rex Burkhead, he had his injury issues at the end of last year. They brought in Jeremy Hill from Cincinnati. James Devlin's come in from San Francisco. And Sonny Michel, the second-round draft pick. How do you expect that to turn out? Do you think that it will be more of a rotating cast, more of sharing the load, or as the depth chart says, Rex Burkhead and James White will be the guys that will carry the load?
Well, listen, I think the Patriots do whatever it takes to win the game, and I think they'd like to exploit the main weakness on the other team. If that means running the ball for the majority of a game, then that's what they'll do. I think in general, that's what always pleases me about the Patriots offense. As great as Tom Brady is, you know, they try and have a well-balanced attack, and this group of running backs is as strong as I can remember it. Obviously led by, you know, the exciting rookie Sonny Michel. I think he's going to be a star, and I think he can really carry a big load and take some pressure off Tom Brady and those guys. So I think from that point of view, I think it's great to have. I think it's great to have those options. I think it's great to have that strength and depth. So I think from the Patriots' point of view, it's great to have those guys. By the same time, I think our receiving core is very strong. We obviously have the best quarterback in the game, so I think the Patriots offense is looking as strong as ever.
Is there anyone in the AFC East you actually fear, Azmir?
Well, no, guys. I mean, I think
good answer.
That's so Patriots, isn't it?
I would think we have to be realistic. This is a division that's for the Patriots to lose. That's just the way it is. There's a bit of noise coming out of Buffalo and out of New York with their rookie quarterbacks. So, you know, as the next few years come along, I think they'll be stronger. Miami is known to be a dysfunctional franchise, so I don't think there's too much that's going to stand in the way of the Patriots there. So I think from a division point of view, it'll be once again the Patriots to lose. Now, the question remains is how and what the record will be for the Patriots. Can they get that first round bye that they like? Can they have home field advantage throughout the playoffs? Those are the big questions that is always a huge deciding factor in whether the Patriots can go really, really far in the playoffs.
I just My kind of feeling on it is, I'm with you. I think right now the Jets are back in rebuilding mode again, although I do like their head coach. I think they have a chance of being a half-decent team this year. Quietly, the defensive side of the ball in New York is really, really strong. Buffalo are in real rebuilding mode again. And I honestly can't figure out what the Miami Dolphins are doing. They have cut almost any talented player from that team and seemingly brought in a less talented but cheaper version of them. Now, you do that when maybe you've got an expensive top-end quarterback to pay or something like that, but they really don't have any reason to be kind of cutting bait and changing things up so much in Miami. So I do think it's frustrating to be thinking about this in August, but realistically, Patriots fans should probably be going, right, who else in the AFC? Is it the Steelers? Is it maybe the Jags with that defense? Is it who else is going to give us troubles when we get to the playoffs? Because honestly, if they don't win their division, I think it'd be the shock of the year.
No, I think that's right. I think the division has to be a lock for the Patriots. I think it's the bigger picture there. It's a Super Bowl or bust type season once again for the Patriots, and that's the sort of high standards they've set. That's the expectations around New England. That's just the way it is, and I think it must be frustrating for a Dolphins fan because I don't think you're going one way or the other. I think for the Jets and the Bills, you can sort of see what the front office and the organization are trying to do. Get a couple young quarterbacks. There's a bit of light at the end of the tunnel. You can see what they're trying to build. I think for the Dolphins, they're not here nor there. So I think it's a very difficult position they find themselves in. But in terms of the AFC guys, and I don't know what you think. I think the Pittsburgh Steelers look incredibly strong. That's one heck of an offense. Mm. I mean, the firepower they have with likes of Antonio Brown, Juju Schuster, obviously Big Ben at the helm, L. Bell, running back. They have a bit of everything there. The one team that I think can really, and this is sort of maybe a wild card, is the Kansas City Chiefs. Patrick Mahomes, is he going to be something special? Said his first year where he's learned a lot. I think he's going to be one who's going to take a lot of risks, but they've moved on from Alex Smith. I mean, is he going to be something that they've been missing over the years? Tyreek Hill, all those boys over there, Travis Kelce, Sammy Watkins now. That's a really, really powerful team, and I think they could really make a run for the AFC. The Jags, as good as their defense is, you know, they've lost one of the main wide receivers, I believe, to the Chicago Bears, if I remember correctly.
Allen Robinson, yeah.
Yeah, the Colts, Andrew Luck is back. J.J. Watt's back for the Texans. They've added, obviously, the Honey Badger. So I'm not so sure that it's so easy for the Jags, you know, to win that division. That's going to be more competitive this year. The one team to really look out for is the Chiefs. I don't know what you guys think about the AFC, but that's the way I see it.
Well, the amazing thing about the New England schedule is that the Patriots play every single one of those AFC teams that you mentioned, as they have the AFC South and the NFC North on the other side of the conference. But you're absolutely right. Houston's defense is absolutely stacked, and they've got Deshaun Watson coming back. I love the Jags at the moment. That defense again. Your first two games are at home to the Texans, and then you have to go away to the Jags. Conceivably, they could be 0-2.
I'd not looked at their schedule this year.
It's an amazing schedule.
And obviously, the way that it is set up with you play the first team in every division as well as the relative divisions, it's set up to be tough. But I quite like the Bears this year. I think the Lions look like a much better team this year. And I really, obviously, Matt Patricia knows the Pats inside out. You mentioned the Chiefs, the Jags. There's actually, I think... Do you know what? The Patriots, while the division should be a lot considering, they've also got the Vikings as well, the Steelers.
Whoa, you're missing one.
The Packers.
Yeah, Packers.
Of course. Ollie is a Packers fan.
November the 4th, it's the day after you guys play Manchester United, so you will be free to watch it. I've worked that out for you already. You're welcome, Asmir. So.
Thank you. And I think generally the Patriots are, you know, by the time they fit all the pieces into the team, they're generally slower starters. You know, last year we were 2-2 and then started to get going. So that could be again the case this year, especially with the schedule, those teams you mentioned right at the beginning. But all the big games are at home. I think the only other, as the season goes on, big game on the road is against the Steelers. So, you know, I'm looking at the Patriots' schedule. I'm looking at another 12-4. I'm looking at 13-3. I just don't see them slipping to where people think they're a team that wins less than 10 games or something like that, you know. So I just don't see it. If that remains, obviously, if everyone is healthy, Edelman comes back after his suspension, I just don't see anything less than 12 wins once again. And I think that could be hopefully enough to secure a home field advantage.
Yeah, that is absolutely huge for them. I think if they've got to go to Pittsburgh or go to Jacksonville, that could be a big difference for them. But you mentioned a lot of the skill players. I love that you mentioned Pat Mahomes. We had Pat on the podcast about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and there's one thing that man does not lack, it is confidence. He knows that he has got the ability, and I'm really excited to see what he can put together. Are you a fantasy football guy, Asmir?
I am a fantasy football guy, so I'll have my draft in the next couple of weeks. Bit of bad luck with injuries the last couple of years, as you can imagine. So I'll blame it on that for my lackluster performance. but I'll be getting involved. I mean, I don't know. We'll see what my first pick brings, you know, but likes of Todd Gurley spring to mind. Those sort of players will be, I seem to think, good picks in the first round. What about you guys? You got your own league going on?
Oh, it's stupid. I've done a cull this year. So I'm currently in four leagues. I was in eight last season, and I've just gone through and just cut a load of them away. But the problem is at this time of year, because we've got a couple of them are dynasty leagues, so ones where you like retain your players and you draft rookies and stuff like that. The problem is at this time of year, all I want to be doing is doing fantasy drafts and getting involved and doing mock draft stuff. That's how I get excited for the season. So now I'm like, oh, I might go and try and find some more leagues to try and join. So we might start a TalkSport one. I think that might need to be done.
I think Asmir's in on that.
Yeah.
We'll get Asmir in.
Invite, guys. Yeah, listen, if you're doing something, invite for sure. I'll join you guys.
There Asmir, we go.
Are you going to make it out to any of the London games? Of course, earlier on today, the Spurs stadium is not ready, so Raiders Seahawks is going to be most likely at Wembley Stadium. Will you be able to get at least one of those three games?
Yeah, I heard those news, that news today. So I'm looking forward to both the games. I'm hoping to get to the Eagles game for sure. I'm hoping to see the Eagles. I think I'll be around for that game. I think the second game might be during international break. I haven't looked at Firehead yet, but I'm definitely going to try and get to the Eagles game. I definitely try to get at least one of the two games every year. I absolutely love them, and I hope they continue for many years to come. And it's great to see, obviously, the defending Super Bowl champs in town as well, so that doesn't get much better than that.
And look, you also have your Season of Sports podcast that you do as well, which I have to say I'm a fan of. I don't know if I'm a big fan of you having the Moose on this week, but I'll try and get over it.
He's been begging me to come on the podcast.
That
for a
doesn't
long time.
Surprise me in any way. What a
I
disgrace.
but yeah, guys, no, thanks for the shout out. My podcast called The Season of Sports. Get it. It's out every couple of weeks. So you can get it wherever you get your podcast from, iTunes, Spotify, Audioboom. We're there. We're actually going to do an NFL preview in the next couple of episodes, so we'll be getting into the NFL. I'm just as addicted as you guys and can't wait for the season to start, so plenty of things to go through. And give it a listen, and we appreciate all the feedback.
Awesome stuff. Good man. Cheers, Asmir. Really appreciate your time. Asmir Begovic joining us here on the Gridiron Show.
Thanks, guys.
Asmir Begovic, Bournemouth goalkeeper and lovely man. Absolute delight. Should we talk about our views on the AFC East?
Yeah, let's.
Oh, it's the Patriots to lose. I think we're done.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of excited about the Patriots' defense this year.
It's funny that the Patriots have, like, we thought they might have the best receiving core in football a couple of weeks ago, and that's all fallen apart. But don't see much reason to be concerned about this team.
No. When you've got Carl Van Noy, Dante Hightower's going to come back, Trey Flowers up front, Adrian Claiborne, who I'm a big fan of.
He is so in the Belichick mode as well.
Isn't he? Yeah.
Run-stopping, defensive end, absolutely what Belichick wants there. I do still think that pass rush is a problem for them. And I do wonder, you know, Eric Rowe, Jonathan Jones, I mean, the state of their second cornerback and third cornerback play in that Super Bowl was all over the shop. I do just think, we mentioned it to Asmir, but they have got a difficult schedule this year.
Well done.
Yeah, I thought you'd like that. you know, just those are just a few things that make you go, hmm. I obviously think they're going to win the division, and I obviously think they're going to go to the playoffs,
but
because
they
have to by doing that. I don't know if they're going to even get... I don't know. I don't think they're going to get a bye. I don't think they're going to get more than 10, 11 wins just because they've got a really, really hard schedule.
So you're thinking because they'll top the division, they'll get the home field advantage, they'll beat the one of the playoff, the wildcard teams, and then have to go somewhere like Pittsburgh or Jacksonville, both of which they're going to in the regular season anyway, and then end up losing.
Yeah, I just wouldn't be surprised to see them only go 11-5 this season. 10-6 might be a little too low, but 11-5, 12-4 maybe. But 12-4, I don't think guarantees you a bye at this point.
I've got them 10-6.
10-6?
10-6. I can see them losing all over the pace.
Wow.
You could see them losing at home to the Texans, away at the Jags.
Yeah.
At the Lions.
I could see that. I don't think it'll happen, but it could.
At the Bears.
Yeah.
At home to the Chiefs, they could lose.
Yeah.
They could lose at home to the Packers.
Yeah.
At home to the Vikes.
Yeah.
And they tend to lose at least one of their games
in division.
Inter-division games.
And at Pittsburgh.
And at Pittsburgh. That's six.
So there's seven losable games there.
And if they... Yeah. So
you're predicting they're going to lose six of their seven losable games. Because I think they'll lose four or five of those losable games. I think six. They'll find a way to win a couple of them at least. That's
the Bears won. The Bears and the Lions maybe. So it could be five. But I think six, given... Given that schedule, and I, Brady's a year older, Gronkowski's a year older, but we don't know how fit that he'll be able to stay. He is a key part for them, a key piece. And if he goes out injured in the first three or four, five or six games, then you could potentially see them tailing off badly.
Who would you like to cover next?
Let's go to the Dolphins. You said they were an absolute basket case.
Yeah, I just don't get it. They are the second favourites in the division. Their over-under on wins this season is set at 6.5. With the Patriots, just so you know, is set at 11. The Dolphins have... Ryan Tannehill was 8-5 as a starter in 2016. Adam Gase's first season as head coach looked like he was growing into it. But he's 13 months removed from an ACL tear. His top target, Jarvis Landry, was traded away. I think the running back situation... Other than you quite like Kenyon Drake, I think he showed some explosiveness last year, but it's not getting me too excited. On the defensive side of things, they brought in Robert Quinn, and they've got Robert Quinn and Cam Wake. I mean, Robert Quinn hasn't really done anything for two or three years, but him and Cam Wake, in theory, have the pedigree to be decent, but they are old.
Yeah.
Xavier Howard I quite like, and Rashard Jones I quite like in their backfield. They could have an interesting secondary with Minkah Fitzpatrick as well.
Well, Simon Clancy has his finger on the pulse when it comes to the Dolphins, and all of the local writers and are waxing lyrical about Minkah Fitzpatrick, and the team itself are as well, and saying that he's been doing amazing things in practice. So I love the look of a real player like that. He's the kind of guy that the ball follows him rather than being a ball hawk.
And there are no game winners on their team, though. There's no one who's going to go and grab a close game by the scruff of the neck.
Whoa.
Their best receiver was Devontae Parker and on paper, and he's apparently had a dreadful preseason and OTAs and everything else.
You forget about Brock Osweiler. Brock O'Clock, the worst player to have played football ever. Right.
Nasty.
The one player that I think is kind of... He's not really going under the radar in Miami because they're touting everyone as the next big thing. But I love Mike Gesicki out of Penn State. The tight end, he's a pass-catching tight end. Great hands, kind of physical as well.
Well, considering their other tight ends are Gavin Escobar, Marquise Gray, AJ Derby, Thomas Duarte. I mean, they might as well start the two rookies because they picked up Durham Smythe as well in the fourth round. I'm assuming it's Smythe because of the way it's written.
Smith.
but it's with got an E on the end and a Y. It feels very smythy. That's what I'm saying.
A bit smythy, isn't
it? A little bit on the smythy side of things. Yeah, I'm seriously uninspired by this team. And I think Tannehill might not be a Dolphin this time next year.
Well, the fact that, like, obviously they have to go to the AFC South and the NFC North, that NFC North, every single one of those teams, and I'm going to include Chicago there, but I'm not 100% sure, but every one of those teams will beat the Dolphins. They tend to upset the Patriots at least once a season, I think. Once every two seasons, maybe. But, I mean, I think they'll be doing well if they get seven wins in the season.
Now, you've got the New York Jets, because they are the favourites to finish second to Miami, with the Jets just half a game behind them on the over-under. I've got the Jets as my second favourites in this division. They offensively, there's not a lot to like. Sam Darnold, I'm really excited to see what he does, and there are elements that the offensive line isn't great. Robbie Anderson has emerged, and I like Terrell Pryor, but he hasn't shown anything in the last year or so. Isaiah Crowell is a player I like a lot, but again, hasn't shown consistency. They've got Bilal Powell, they've got Thomas Rawls. They've got kind of bits there that if they step up, could be okay. But I really like their young defensive unit.
Go on, talk me through it, because for me, it's just a load of names.
Well, so first things first, you've got Jamal Adams, Marcus May, Jenkins Lee Williams, Jordan Jenkins, Darren Lee, Leonard Williams, all under 25, all high picks, all really exciting young players.
Yeah.
Working with Todd Bowles, really good athleticism. I really, really like the pickup of Tremaine Johnson. Big upgrade with those two safeties they pick up early last year. With Demario Davis and DeMohammed Wilkerson stepping away, you would have thought they might struggle. But I like the young linebackers. I like Jordan Jenkins. I like Darren Lee. Third year in that system. If Leonard Williams reaches his potential as well, I think that they've got a sneaky good defense. I know how much you love that phrase.
It's all right. I used sneaky good earlier in the podcast.
Yeah, I heard you. I heard you.
I hated myself instantly for it.
I think they've got a sneaky good defense. They just need to put a little bit together on offense, and I think they could be an okay team this year. Maybe not quite 500, but a 6-7 win team, and that would be enough for me to put them second in the division.
Does it matter with which quarterback they start with? Teddy Bridgewater, Sam Darnold, Josh McCown.
I still think Teddy Bridgewater could end up getting traded away. Because Josh McCown is the ultimate person for Sam Darnold to learn behind him with. As we talked about earlier, Sam Darnold might take some first-team snaps coming this week. But there is no reason to start Sam Darnold the season. I think if I was putting money on it, I'd say McCown starts the season, but Darnold comes in at some point.
Yeah, I'd agree with you.
They've got a bit of a rough start to the year. Got to go to Detroit, to Jacksonville in the first 4 weeks.
We don't know what the Browns are going to do, but they do have the Broncos and the Colts at home back-to-back, which...
I think they're both winnable games.
100% they're winnable games. Again, we don't know what the Bears are going to do. The Bills are a hit and miss. If they have a good first 10 weeks up until their bye, and they win 1, 2, 3, 4... Half of those, that's definitely doable. Then they can really target that second half of the season and think, do you know what, we might be able to sneak in the playoffs here.
Now, with the Bills...
I mean, aren't the Bills just the weirdest franchise in the NFL at the moment? Because you don't really know exactly what they are. You know with the Browns that they were rubbish last year and they're trying to get better. You know with the Dolphins that... They're just crazy. They're a crazy team. You know what's going on with the Patriots. You know about the Chiefs. But with the Bills, they're just a bit meh.
So I like Tremaine Edmonds. It was a great pick.
Yeah.
And I think with Starlo Tulele coming in, they've got potential to be really strong up front. And with Leslie Frazier coming in and with Sean McDermott there, suits the system, players that suit the system. Tremaine Edmonds was vital to play in a Sean McDermott system. Vontae Davis, Micah Hyde, Tre'Davious White. There's talent in the backfield there. Potential to be an okay defense. Nothing to write home about on the offensive side of the ball.
LeSean and McCoy aside?
They're losing. They've lost three starting offensive linemen from a year ago. Still questions over the allegations of domestic violence from LeSean McCoy. The passing game, I mean, How quickly do you think Josh Allen is put into that team?
I mean, it could be anything from week one to week two. seriously, because...
But he was meant to be the biggest project of all of these quarterbacks, and he's the one who's probably going to end up starting first, except for maybe Baker Mayfield, although Hugh Jackson keeps saying that he's going to start Tyrod Taylor to start the season.
What about AJ McCarron? What, I mean, at least with Jimmy Garoppolo, we saw flashes and everyone was making the right noises from the Patriots' end.
AJ McCarron stinks of a career backup.
Doesn't he?
Like, and I think he has the potential to be a good, steady hand. The sort of person who, if your quarterback goes down for 3 or 4 weeks, can come in, get you to 2-2 if you're a good team, and then come back out for your starting quarterback. Like, that's fine. But is he the guy you want to have come in and have your young, new, exciting quarterback working behind? I don't think so. Probably not. It's not a great offensive group, even including LeSean McCoy, who they had a great running game last year, but they've lost, like I said, three of their starting five offensive linemen. I've got them down as the worst team in the AFC East this season.
I toss up between them and the Dolphins for me. I think there is more on the Dolphins' defense. But it's, and the Dolphins have a better quarterback than any of those other quarterbacks in Ryan Tannehill. I still love Kelvin Benjamin, and I think one day he may come good. And LeSean McCoy, I know he's a year older, but in the open field, he is one of the most exciting runners and players to watch. I just don't know what they are. I don't know what the Bills are. They could go 8-8. They could go 3-13. Just don't know.
I don't think they could go 8-8. I think they go 3-13 or 5-15.
So you're saying the ceiling is 5 wins?
I mean, maybe 6.
Look forward to the season, then, Buffalo Bills fans.
Oh God!
Whoa!
So I have it going: Bills, Dolphins, Jets, Patriots this season.
What, Bills top?
Yeah, exactly. I was obviously going bottom to top there.
Yeah, I will go. I will go Patriots, Jets, Bills, Dolphins.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Ollie, later this week we're going to have an AFC West podcast.
You sure?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It's happy left-handers day, as it is as we're recording this.
Are you left-handed?
I'm not.
No, me either. We did a...
But Steve Young was left-handed, and he's one of the best.
Who else was left-handed? Another big one. Was Vinny Testaverde?
Mike Vick left-handed?
No, Mike Vick was definitely left-handed. Yeah. You're right. That's weird, though, isn't it? That so many... There are far less left-handers in the NFL than right-handers, quarterback-wise.
Matt Leinart, he was left-handed.
Yeah. Was Saracen from Friday Night Lights left-handed?
Oh, I don't know, actually. Not off the top of my head.
Matt Saracen, was he left-handed?
Boomer Esiason was left-handed. Ken Stabler was left-handed. See, there are some good ones. There are some good ones in there. Not many, but there are a few. Speaking of Friday Night Lights, I did get the new Madden game.
Oh, yeah?
I have only played... So the opening, and I don't know if this is something that is because it registers you as being in the UK when you start the game, but you know, it starts off with like an introduction to the game. The introduction to the game was that thing that NFL UK tweeted out last week where it's the Eagles against the Jags at Wembley,
yeah.
And you're thrust into that game. So I played that through, and then I just played the first kind of half an hour or so of long shot mode. There were a couple of little bugs in there, which I'm sure will get ironed out. But in terms of the actual gameplay, it looks like they've added in a lot of little nuances to the way
really?
You play, certainly on the defensive side of the ball, that seem to make it more simple or simpler. No, more simple to carry out what you're hoping the defense will do. And there's a lot more on-screen prompts for things like how to adjust your offensive line and stuff like that, which I need to, if I'm going to get better at Madden, I need to start learning how to do that stuff. Because I look at the defense, I go, oh, heavily loaded on the right side, might be bringing the blitz, but then I don't know how to deal with that.
How
so
to
I just
fix it, yeah.
I just snap the ball and run the quarterback off. I roll out to the right.
Roll out the opposite way.
Go away! Run away! Run!
Leave me alone!
And then throwing across my body and throwing a horrible
Stop
interception.
It. Matt Saracen's right-handed.
There you go. Thanks, mate. I'm really glad you... But long shot has been fun so far, so that's the main thing. I really want to go home and play it now, but I've got to go do 5 hours of radio.
Why didn't you bring it in?
Why didn't I bring it in?
I mean, that would have been perfect. We could have done on a pod whilst playing the game.
Yeah, because we would have definitely paid attention to what we were doing.
Could have done.
Could have done the show.
Could have done the playing. Show.
I could get home and back in an hour and 49 minutes.
I mean, you can.
Sammy would be angry.
I'm not sure the payoff is
is worth the effort. Yeah. No, I think you're right. I think you're right. As always, get in touch with us at Gridiron on Twitter.
Excuse you.
And if you are planning a trip to the States, like Ollie is, Ollie might be going to the opening game.
I need to talk to Ben. I think I need to talk to Ben.
Ben Mortimer is your best bet for the best deal
I'll send him
you
an email.
Can get. So do send Ben an email. Get in touch with him. Touchdown Trips. You have been listening to The Gridiron Show. Ollie, any final thoughts?
Yeah, what were you talking to Ben about that I wasn't involved in again?
No, it was just a little email chat about the tour, some bits and pieces. That's
all. Oh, great.
All.
Thanks for including
nothing, me. Nothing you needed to be included
well,
on.
We saw this happen last time. I luckily turned up to the airport at the right time and there were other people there. despite me not knowing anything. So,
I mean, if anything, I think that's for the best.
Do you know, that's a great point.
Thank you very much for listening. This has been The Gridiron Show.
Hazel Irvin here, and I'm at Mammoth Insurance in Leeds, where Kate has arranged an office chair race to fundraise for Sport Relief. And these riders have got their kit on. They are rearing to go. And they're off. Taking an early lead and smashing injustice right out of the park, it's Daphne from accounting riding the spreadsheet demon chair. Up comes Nina from HR on Beat Me and You're Fired, closely followed by Mark from marketing on the 9-to-5 chair. Even Javid from health and safety's at it, waving his clipboard like crazy. Go easy there, Javid. We don't want any injuries, fella. And from nowhere, it's Jenny on El Chero Loco, rolling right over poverty to cross the line first. And the crowd goes loco. Unbelievable. You can help change the world too. Just get your exclusive Sport Relief merchandise at Genera's Sainsbury's. Sport Relief. It's game on. This message was brought to you by Acast.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.